You're listening to a podcast from Cancer.net. This cancer information website is produced by the American Society of Clinical Oncology, known as ASCO, the world's leading professional organization for doctors that care for people with cancer. Today's topic is what's new in lung cancer. This podcast will be led by Dr. Mark Criss, who is the chief of the Thoracic Oncology Service at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. Dr. Criss is a medical oncologist who specializes in lung cancer, and he is the associate editor of Cancer.net's lung cancer section. In this podcast, Dr. Criss will discuss some of the latest news in lung cancer diagnosis and treatment, along with some of the research currently underway on this disease. He'll also cover how this information is reflected in the recent update of Cancer.net's lung cancer section, which can be found at www.cancer.net/lung. ASCO would like to thank Dr. Criss for summarizing these findings.
Good day. I'm very happy to have the opportunity to speak to you today about changes we've made in the lung cancer section on cancer.net. I serve as the editor of the lung cancer section, and I work with an entire team of healthcare professionals that continually review information about lung cancer and try to give you the most up-to-date and comprehensive information that you need to help make your healthcare decisions and to help those that may be your friends and family that are making decisions as well. On our team, we have medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, surgeons, patients, nurses, social workers, individuals interested in survivorship, and all of us try to focus the information for the patient and, again, try to make it as comprehensive and up-to-date as we can. In the most recent version of the Cancer.net lung cancer website, there have been a few important changes that I would like to discuss with you today. I think the first is the use of a medicine called cetuximab. Cetuximab has the trade name of Erbitux. This is a medicine that until the ASCO meeting in June of 2008 was very rarely used in persons with lung cancer. But in the months following that June 2008 meeting, it became obvious to physicians caring for people with lung cancer that this medication could be helpful in improving the chance that a tumor would shrink and also the length of life of patients with lung cancer. Cetuximab is a monoclonal antibody. It targets the epidermal growth factor receptor. And this drug is a FDA-approved medicine for patients with colorectal cancer and also for patients with cancer that arouse in the head and neck. So physicians treating people with cancer have been using this drug for many years. Their offices and nursing administration staff know how to give this drug. But as I said, up until June, it was not proven that this drug could help people with lung cancer. As it turns out, lung cancers also have this epidermal growth factor receptor, who would serve as a suitable, you know, target for this medicine, and it makes a lot of sense to doctors that this medicine would help. And as I alluded to earlier, at the ASCO meeting this year, the results of a very large clinical trial were presented that compared patients getting a standard chemotherapy versus those that had the same standard chemotherapy plus cetuximab. Patients that had the standard chemotherapy plus cetuximab, they lived longer, and they were more likely to have their cancer shrink. So based on that, many physicians have started to order this drug and to add it to their standard chemotherapy programs. This drug is still in the approval process for the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and also the European authorities, but physicians feel that the data presented is compelling enough to want to recommend it for patients, and it's already been added to the various compendia upon which reimbursement decisions are made here in the United States. Cetuximab is not a traditional chemotherapy. As I said before, it's a monoclonal antibody. Its side effects are somewhat different. Like all monoclonal antibodies, it can cause allergic reactions. The other side effect of cetuximab that you can see is that it can cause a rash. It can give you pimples that look very much like acne on the face, but the rash can be on anywhere in the body. It also can lead to changes in your fingertips and toes, cracking of your cuticles, in addition to the more common pimples. All these things can be managed, and as I said already, physicians and the nurses and staff in physicians' offices and practices are very experienced in dealing with these side effects because these drugs have been used for many years with colorectal cancer and head and neck cancer. So don't be surprised if your physician mentions this drug to you as a treatment option, and it's something I think we're going to be seeing used more commonly, and use is only going to continue as time goes on. The second big development in the last year has been a further move toward what we would call personalized medicine. Instead of having a standard kind of chemotherapy based on the diagnosis of lung cancer, instead we are trying to base our treatment decisions on specific characteristics of an individual patient's tumor specimen. So again, it's not about you. It's about what your doctors can learn by analyzing the tumor specimen that was obtained either at your operation or at the time a biopsy was done that made the diagnosis of cancer. So there are two things that have been found to be very helpful. One is a look at this kind at the tumor specimen under a microscope to decide what kind of cancer it is. There are three main subtypes of non-small cell lung cancer, one called squamous cell, one called adenocarcinoma, and one called large cell carcinoma. About two-thirds of patients with lung cancer have the adenocarcinoma, about a quarter have the squamous cell cancer, and about 10% have what's called large cell cancer. We've known for many years that patients with squamous cancer are at a greater risk for side effects when they receive bevacizumab, also known as Avastin, and that drug is not recommended for patients. So that's one piece of decision-making that doctors make based on what the kind of cancer is discovered at the biopsy. We also learned this year that some chemotherapies work better in one cell type than another. There was a report in the Journal of Clinical Oncology, ASCO's journal, that if you have adenocarcinoma or large cell carcinoma, if you receive the drug pemetrexed, also known as Alimta, as the first treatment, you would do better than receiving other chemotherapy, specifically the drug gemcitabine. Both of these drugs would be given in combination with cis or carboplatin. That same report also noted that if instead you have squamous cell cancer, you would do better if you received gemcitabine instead of receiving pemetrexed or Alimta. So this is yet another example of how doctors look at the tumor specimen to decide treatment, how it's to your advantage to have those decisions made for you because you'll have a greater chance to have your tumor shrink and a greater chance to derive a benefit as to a longer life. So there are safety concerns, and there are also concerns about the effectiveness of treatment. This data has been felt to be so powerful that it is now part of the FDA label for these agents. And in truth, pemetrexed is now approved for people with adeno and large cell carcinoma, whereas other kinds of chemotherapy are recommended for people that have those diagnoses. A second development in the last several years has been the ability to do certain genetic tests on tumor specimens. Agents such as erlotinib or Tarceva or gefitinib or Iressa have been found to be very effective in individuals whose tumor specimens have genetic damage, a mutation in a certain gene, the epidermal growth factor receptor gene, EGFR it's called. So if you have one of these mutations, you have an 8 out of 10 chance of having benefit from either gefitinib or erlotinib. So what you will find is that your doctor will want to analyze your tumor specimen, and it often takes 1 to 3 weeks to get this test done. And what you'll also find is that your decision whether or not to receive these drugs will be based on that test. It may be, too, that your doctor will ask you to have another biopsy. Even though you had a biopsy that showed you had cancer, and even if it was able to show you you had an adenocarcinoma, it still may not have been sufficient to do this genetic test, and you may be asked to have another biopsy to do this. I would put it to you, it's worth your while to do that, because what it could do is to spare you from getting a treatment that's not going to work. And by the same token, if you have it, you'll know what to expect, and that your doctor can select a tumor much more likely to work. There's other genetic tests that can be done. There's another mutation called KRAS, K-R-A-S. If you have this KRAS mutation, your chance of having a benefit from gefitinib or erlotinib is very tiny. And that's another test that could be used to decide whether or not a treatment should be given to you. There are more of these tests being developed, and I think as the years go on, there's going to be more focus by your doctor on doing these genetic tests to help choose therapy for you. And one last point to think about over the next year is that, as you know, when cancer is diagnosed, your physicians and your healthcare team spend a lot of time in what they call staging, where they determine as accurately as they can where the cancer is in your body and the size of the cancers. And those observations are used to choose your therapy. Cancers of a certain size that are not found in the lymph nodes are routinely recommended to surgery. Those that have spread throughout the body, we generally don't recommend surgery, and that's what's called staging. In 2009, there's going to be a change in the staging system. So I ask you now to be aware that that kind of thing might happen. To a great extent, what the staging does is it's going to help doctors better choose treatments for you. People that could benefit from a surgery, for example, that by having the more precise stage applied to them, it would be even clearer that surgery is the right treatment, and it can take you to the most effective therapy. This is more a tool for your doctor than for to choose treatments, and I think it's more important that that you be aware that these staging numbers are changing now, and doctors will work through this, but ultimately it's to better define the location of the illness, the size of the cancer, which in turn determines the treatment, and making the best determination for treatment is the way to ensure you that you'll have the best chance of cure or in lengthening your life if cure is not something that's going to be possible. So to close, we continue to make developments in the field of lung cancer. We are learning more and more about what changes in cells lead to lung cancer. That information from the laboratory is helping us decide what kind of strategies could be used to better treat lung cancer. There are literally hundreds of drugs being tested now to fight lung cancer based on this new understanding of biology. And I ask you to stay tuned and keep following cancer.net and your other information sources as these new drugs are being tested and as new drugs like cetuximab this year are added to the list of treatments that are effective for fighting lung cancer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Criss. For more information, talk with your doctor or visit www.cancer.net. Thank you for listening to this cancer.net podcast.